A very good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington on Wednesday, July 19th, 2023. This is the Diaspora Forum. I am Keith Stobie. Tonight we are talking about the possible impact of the Criminal Law Codification and Reform Amendment Act, commonly known as the Patriotic Act, on Zimbabweans living in the diaspora. Namhla sixoxa ngomthetho obizwa ngokuthi Criminal Law Codification and Reform Amendment Act, olakho ukuphazamisa abadabuka eZimbabwe abahlala kwamanye amazwe. Umthetho lo upasiswe ngolwesihlanu ngumongameli eMasomnangagwa. Phansi komthetho lo owephulwayo kulakho ukugwetshelwa ukufa kumbe ukuhlala entilongweni okweminyaka engamathumi amabili, 20 years. Balakho njalo ukuthathelwa amaphepha okuba izizalwane zakwaseZimbabwe. But first, let's have a look at what's happening in Zimbabwe and other nations. The Electoral Court today granted Mrs. Elizabeth Valerio of the United Zimbabwe Alliance permission to contest Zimbabwe's presidential election after the nomination court recently rejected her documents on the basis that she submitted them late. Mrs. Valerio's attorneys argued that it was unlawful for the nomination court to reject the papers. Following today's ruling, she is now the only female presidential candidate in an election with 11 men. This is what
Court Division of the High Court, and we were there to receive the judgment on my appeal as a presidential candidate on the 21st of June. I was not given the opportunity to be on the ballot, and you know, the Zimbabwe Electoral Commission had rejected my application to contest in this general election. However, the court has ruled that my name will be added to the ballot. I'm very excited. I'm overjoyed actually right now, because finally we have a woman who will be on the ballot August 23rd. We've been disadvantaged greatly, of course, because the last few weeks we've not been able to contest, but I do want to say I'm thankful and grateful that justice has taken its course. Going forward, it's now up to Zimbabwe to get out there and vote. Really, don't just hope for change in Zimbabwe. Vote for it, and we want to ensure that as a presidential candidate, we will look forward to creating a Zimbabwe that represents everyone as a woman, but not only as a woman, as leader of a political party which has a mandate and a manifesto which specifically is developed based on what we've heard from the citizens of Zimbabwe. We stand ready and prepared to lead Zimbabwe. So thank you so much to everyone around Zimbabwe that has, and around the world, who have been sending good wishes all along while we were appealing this case. We are there. And so I will stand proud. The work really has been going on all along, but I will work even harder to make sure that we reach every constituency and that we are able to, to encourage our voters to turn up at the polling stations.
That was Mrs. Elizabeth Valerio, leader of the United Zimbabwe Alliance, speaking to our correspondent Frank Chikore in Harare. Still in the courts, two cases are currently in the High Court in Zimbabwe's second largest city, Bulawayo, where the Citizens Coalition for Change is seeking an order compelling the Zimbabwe Electoral Commission to accept their nomination papers for provincial council seats. CCC allegedly failed to submit the documents before the nomination court deadline. At the same time, the High Court is also hearing a matter in which ZANU-PF wants all CCC parliamentary candidates to be thrown out of the polls, claiming that they submitted their papers late at the nomination court a few weeks ago. And Zimbabwe's main opposition party, the Citizens Coalition for Change, has turned to door-to-door campaigning ahead of next month's election, saying police are turning down its applications for public rallies. The police acknowledge refusing to authorize a number of opposition rallies, but say they are also turning down requests from the ruling party. Columbus Mavunga reports from Harare.
Mm-hmm. Members of Zimbabwe's main opposition party, the Citizens Coalition for Change, or CCC, stamp door-to-door for their leader, Nelson Chamisa, in Harare suburb. They tell voter Tapiwa Mashamba where his polling station will be on election day, August 23. He says their meeting was important.
I didn't know my polling station. Plus, I didn't know how to check my polling station in the phone. They told me, and it was very important. Now I know how to check my polling station. I can also tell someone how to check their polling station.
CCC members say they started going door to door after police refused to approve most of their rallies. One of the campaigners is Denford Ngadziwore, who is seeking re-election as a Harare seat councillor. He says the new strategy is actually yielding better results than rallies that require police clearance, which party members say is hard to come by.
You need to get approval from the police if you are more than 15. And currently we are doing this program. We are 14 people. We are engaging voters in the group of 3-3-3-3-3, going into each and every street, house by house, person to person. So it's a very effective model in Harare.
Police refute accusations they are blocking CCC rallies. They say the CCC has applied for 347 rallies since January, and fewer than 50 have been turned down for security concerns or other reasons. Police say the ruling ZANU-PF party has asked for permission to hold about 1,400 rallies, and more than 85 have been turned down.
We are maintaining registers, including for those turned down, for those approved. So we would want people who raise allegations to justify, not to speak because they just want to justify whatever they failed to do, but to have facts, and facts where if they are raising something against the police, facts which can be proven.
While the opposition party tests the new door-to-door campaign strategy, police are asking parties to tell the truth so the electoral process earns the credibility it deserves. Columbus Mavungam, VOA News, Harare, Zimbabwe.
Meanwhile, in a tweet, the United States Embassy says police should investigate and hold accountable those who assaulted VOA correspondent Anastasia Ndlovu and their freelance colleagues Pamela Stoso and Lungelo Ndlovu. The embassy said all civic actors should ensure that the election season is non-violent. Suspected ZANU-PF activists attacked Anastasia Ndlovu, Tuso and Ndlovu at a market in the city. Meanwhile, the FIFA Women's World Cup Games start tomorrow in New Zealand and Australia, with New Zealand clashing against Norway, Australia versus the Republic of Ireland, Nigeria versus Canada, and Philippines versus Switzerland. Meanwhile, female soccer players in Africa, much like those in the United States, are often paid less than their male counterparts. Nigeria's women's national team, the Super Falcons, is by far the most successful in Africa, winning 9 out of 11 continental titles. The team is preparing to represent Africa at the FIFA Women's World Cup. Timothy Opiozo reports from Abuja.
Blessing Emmanuel started playing soccer when she was only 12 years old, but her family initially resisted and tried to force her to quit.
My dad was like, no, I don't think I want my daughter to be in the midst of boys, stuff like that, so I just had to convince them.
And she did. In 2020, Emmanuel joined the Niger Rattles Football Club. And last year, she led Nigeria's under-17 national team to India, and the team won a bronze medal. Niger Rattles coach Sonny Udu says the club's initial objective was to help underprivileged girls.
It's not every girl child that have the opportunity to come from a very good home. You discover that most of them, they are on the streets doing what they don't feel like doing. Why? Just for them to meet up some responsibility.
Women's soccer is increasingly popular in Africa, and Nigeria's national team, the Super Falcons, is among the most successful. It is the only African team to participate in FIFA Women's World Cup since 1991 and is currently in Australia to take part in the 2023 FIFA Women's World Cup starting this week. Despite the success, female players say they are often poorly compensated compared to their male counterparts and have been demanding equal pay. Last week, the UK-based Daily Mail reported Nigerian players could boycott their first match against Canada on July 21st in protest over unpaid bonuses. Bumi Oladeji is a member of the Niger Rattles Football Club.
Being a girl child, the expectation of your parents is just for you to work, get married, and then start to born their own grandchildren. So, but you having the passion for the football, you'll be like, oh, this is where I want to make my money.
Supporters worry the disputes could dampen morale at the tournament, but the Nigerian Football Federation promised to address the issue. The Niger Rattles Football Club assistant coach, Sonny Udu, thinks parity will happen.
They want to see how what the male gets is what the female will get, but it will take time.
In March, FIFA, the organization coordinating soccer around the world, announced that every player in the Women's World Cup will receive $30,000. Players on the winning team will each get $270,000. That makes the trip worth the while for the Super Falcons, but still leaves them striving for better paydays from their home country. Timothy Obezu for VOA News, Abuja, Nigeria.
And for those that have just joined our show, please note that we are streaming this discussion live on our Facebook pages, VOA Shona, VOA Studio 7, and VOA Ndebele. We are also live on YouTube, VOA Zimbabwe. You can also find us on all our websites, www.voandebele.com, www.voashona.com, and www.voazimbabwe.com. Now, back to the topic of the day. President Emmerson Mnangagwa last Friday passed the Criminal Law and Codification and Reform Amendment Bill, which was commonly referred to as the Patriotic Bill, into law. The government says the law is designed to influence Zimbabweans to be patriotic citizens, but human rights groups and opposition parties fear that it will curtail their freedoms. According to some provisions of the law, anyone who willfully injures the sovereignty and interests of Zimbabwe and those that participate in meetings with the intention of promoting calls for economic sanctions against the country can be jailed for up to 20 years or sentenced to death. Zimbabwe is currently preparing for crucial elections. And joining us right now to discuss this issue, on Skype we've got Mr. Frank Kuni, a ZANU-PF activist, Mrs. Diana Zimbutana, Chambara of the Zimbabwe Exiles Forum, and Mr. Tawanda Sokora of the Citizens Coalition for Change. Good evening to you all, and welcome to the show.
Good evening, Gibbs. Good evening. Good evening, Zimbabwe.
Thank you so much. So let's start with you, Mrs. Chambara. What's your take on the Patriotic Act?
Well, I think it's unconstitutional. Without a question, it's unconstitutional. And for the current Zimbabwean government to justify it on any basis is in my opinion, utterly wrong.
So, Murukufuna say in a Patriotic Act in Vashona, can I wish you guys a Vamevan, Varu complainer, Paragoti, Actiacho, I see ID?
Yeah, I'm Temuacha, and I'm not going to get a tattoo. You are no Kumunu, Uno Vumins Gakutara, so no da, Nekureva, so no da, Nekumira, Pony, and Gokamira. Mangwana also Muka Chintuki, who can go to Uti Bufu, or Farwa Muromoyo. Kana utukoona kwa kunzuru uda kura mba uchiti bufu wanzi te haku kupote zira mjeri. Maono kuna kufiramo, anambato kuna kura yorimo, mtemu wacha unamira shoganaka. Auto iti za mchose.
Thank you very much and stay on the line. Now let's bring in Mr. Kuni. Mr. Kuni, give us your thoughts on the new law.
I think it's a democratic and wonderful law that protects the sovereignty and interests of Zimbabwe. Many other countries have similar laws. For instance, here in the United States, in short, there is an act commonly referred to as the Patriot Act. In Zimbabwe, it's a similar in just a small sense. But let me highlight and indicate that this act has been largely mischaracterized by individuals and the media. The purpose of this act is to simply amend the Criminal Law Codification and Reform Act of Zimbabwe. It inserts a new clause which simply says, if you are a Zimbabwean or a resident of Zimbabwe or a citizen of Zimbabwe, you partake in meetings or in groupings that seek to subvert the authority of the government of Zimbabwe, the people of Zimbabwe, and or remove a democratically elected sitting government of Zimbabwe, or advocate for the imposition of sanctions on Zimbabwe, then you shall be guilty of an offense. It's just that simple. All these other stories about people being muzzled is absolute nonsense. There's no such thing in the act. I advise and encourage Zimbabweans to read the act itself, not to listen to propaganda coming from an uninformed group of people.
Thank you very much. Let's turn to you, Mr. Sokora. What's your quick reaction to what Mr. Kun is saying?
Mutemo wa pambe pumbi. Mutemo urukuja nyirira vana veZimbabwe. Mutemo urukuiswa nehurumende iri kutya vanhu vayo, iri kutya macitizens, iri kutya vana veZimbabwe. Chero Smith haana kumbobvira aisa mutemo wakaomarara kudaro. Saka vana veZimbabwe vanofanira kuziva kwese kwese kuti hurumende yavo iri kuisa mitemo yekudzvanyirira kodzero dzavo. Hatichakwanisa kutaura. Ndikatongoonekwa ndakamira muAmerica muno nemurungu kana kuti ndadzidapinda mumeeting nevarungu, yatove mhosva. Ndinosvika ndichisungwa pandongopinda paHarare International Airport. Hapana ari safe, chero ivo vezano vacho vanogona kusungwa. Chero imi veVOA muchatosungwa, muchatovharirwa mumajeri nemutemo iwoyu. Saka mutemo watinofanira kuramba tose sevana veZimbabwe, nekuti hausi mutemo uri kuisa kodzero dzevana veZimbabwe pamberi. Mutemo uri kuisa kodzero dzamunangagwa nezanupf nevamwe vavo pamberi. Hausiriwo mutongerwo unoitwa nyika iwoyo. Vanhu vanofanira kuwana kodzero dzavo, vanofanira kutaura zviri mumwoyo mavo. Kana vamunangagwa vachikanganisa, vanofanira kuudzwa pasina kutya, tisingatye kuti tichakandwa mujeri. Hakuna nyika muno muAfrica, in fact the world yese, yakaisa mutemo iwoyo. Zviri kutaurwa navaguni nezvekugodzi kwatsuro. Mutemo uyu haunambofanana nemutemo weAmerica. For 4 decades, nobody has ever been indicted or arrested on the law in America because it's framed differently from the one in Zimbabwe.
Thank you very much. And back to you, Mrs. Tambara. So there's a provision in this law or act which stipulates that one can lose his or her citizenship for violating the new law. What's your take on that?
Before I answer that, doesn't he find it hypocritical, if not ironic? The fact that he now says this law is there to protect a sitting government against the overtaking of power, an illegal overtaking of power, when in actual fact the sitting government overtook power illegally. It's ironic, or if we want to put it bluntly, hypocritical. Now, back to your question. Mm-hmm. Well, the gist of the matter is really that we should not have such laws. We should not even compare ourselves. I mean, two wrongs do not make a right. We should not even compare ourselves with what is in the U.S. or what's not in the U.S. We should look at the current situation in Zimbabwe. The current situation in Zimbabwe is that people get arrested and people die in jail, or even an illegal arrest happen in Zimbabwe. So that the people then cannot have, the government cannot hide behind a finger. So that they muzzle Zimbabweans on that basis. I think we really should not compare the two.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Kuni, what do you think about this and other severe penalties stipulated in the Patriotic Act?
They are just and fair. So, for example, if you are a permanent resident in Zimbabwe and you partake in meetings that are aimed to subvert the sovereignty of the Republic of Zimbabwe, or you participate in organizing intent to remove the government of Zimbabwe unconstitutionally, or you engage in treasonous acts, then the government of Zimbabwe has no reason to keep you as a citizen. Essentially, there is no country in the world that allows its citizens or residents to participate in subversion or treasonous act. It's just that simple. All these other statements that are being propelled by these proponents of chaos and people who are just saying statements that are simply not in the act. There is nowhere in the act that says you cannot criticize the government, you cannot criticize the president. There is no such thing. If you read, it's kept 9.0.7. It's just that clear. It clearly stipulates what are the crimes and what are the punishments.
Thank you.
Essentially, we are talking about treasonous acts. Criticizing the president is not treasonous.
Thank you very much, Mr. Kuni. I think we've got one person on the line. Let's hear who is on the line right now. And I guess it could be Mr. Victor Mhlanga in London. Mr. Mhlanga, ukonekiwe?
Ya, ngikhona lapha bathibele njani khona?
Siyaphila kakhulu Mhlanga, kunjani khona ngapho ePhilithani?
Hayi, izulu liyana sibe lokho esilalo kusukela u-3 lapha emini, hayi liyathatha izulu kuzona.
Kuhle kakhulu, sishaya ngesintu khona manje. Ubona njalo umthetho lo we-Patriotic Act bamhlanga?
Uyabona unxase ukhangela lo mthetho wabaduke, ubona ngokwawo sibili umthetho lo, asingake sithi ngumthetho onjani. Omubi njengoba lo isikhulumi kade sikhuluma kade sithi akula lizwe elingavumela ukuthi abantu benze bekhulume into ezikhangele ukungani zifane kanjani ukubhuqa uhulumende. Kodwa into ehluphayo eZimbabwe dube ukuthi siyakwazi ukuthi kusukela ngo-1980 kuze kube kade umthetho ungayisetshenziswa ayisetshenziswa ngalokhu kade ehlose ukubana usebenzisile muntu. Usune usetshenziswa kanjani ukungcindezela abantu ukuthi bengabi nani ngethuba kumbe ukuvunyelwa ukukhuluma kumbe ukuxhotheza uhulumeni. Yikho lapho kule ndimba yendaba khona.
Kodwa-ke kulabanye phela vele bayakhala ukuthi umthetho nalo ukhanya ngazani i-em yangikhona ukuthi abantu bebe ngabantu abakhonkothayo kuphela, ukhonkotha ngendlela engani mncwaba nxa ungabona ilizwe leZimbabwe noma kule nto embi, kumbe umuntu nxa enukasa njengempunzi kumbe igaga kumele wena utshaya izandla ngani kunjalo.
Ye, yikho okungani kuyahlupha kona. Nxa kuyukuthi into leyo bekuyinto engani ivele ile sikhathi ihlupha khona ukuthi abantu bahamba bekhuluma kubi ngombuso weZimbabwe, kumbe bekhuluma kubi ngohulumente weZimbabwe. Indaba ongaziwa ngomthetho lo ufakwe kudala lakudala kusukela ngo-1980, why indaba usufakwa kathesi? Okwesibili lapho engakutsho kwakudike ukuthi enye into okumele siyikhanyeke ukuthi yena ongumongameli kathesi onguye umongameli weZimbabwe kusele sikhathi eside sibili kungani kulapho okwedlula khona sibechiya kwenzeni imithetho engani iyahlupha kakhulu. Lokwesithathu ukuthi ikhona enye imithetho engabe ingasetshenziswa ukuthi zinezi izinto abafuna ukuthi zingavunyelwa aluba kusebenziseni lo mthetho kungazange kufakwe an entire act ukuthi injani ikhangele lezo zinto.
So lastly, this is the question for you, Mr. Mhlanga. So looking at the fact that the law is there right now, do you think that it is going to have any direct impact on Zimbabweans living in the diaspora?
No, I don't think so, because I think, man, if you look at the act itself, I think it's so unwieldy and so wide that actually it's an overreach, so to speak. I mean, if you look at some of the definitions in terms of the things that could actually make you fulfill foul of the law, I think the bar is so high that people actually do not need to worry about the things that are contained in that act. Because I do not believe that there is anyone out there who has gone out with an intent to overthrow, to subvert the government. People have just gone out there and stated the facts about the situation on the ground or the violation of human rights, about some of the things that they are unhappy about. So I would have to think it's anything that should be of concern to the people in the diaspora.
Thank you so much for allowing us to call you today, Mr. Mhlanga. So back to you, Mr. Tsokora. So what's your reaction to what some of the people who are participating in this show are saying, you know, quietly?
Yeah, I totally agree with what Mr. Mshanga was saying. This law is, you know, not going to stop us from doing what we are supposed to be doing in the diaspora. We'll continue to speak the truth about what is going on in Zimbabwe. If the government is stealing from the people, if the government is corrupt, if the government is abusing people's human rights, we are going to keep talking about it, and we'll go everywhere where the world law permits us, to the United Nations, to SADC, to EU. Anywhere where we can speak on behalf of the people of Zimbabwe, we will not be perturbed, we will not be stopped. Atichatya, atichatyisi dzirwa nezvimutemo zvisina basa. Tototaurira kukumbira kumapurisa nemasoja kuti vasarambe vachiteerera zvimutemo zvisina basa. They should stop taking illegal directions from the government. Mutemo uyu unotyora kodzero dzevanhu. Munhu wese ari pano ari kuzviona. Ivo vagune ava ndovega vari kutaura kuti mutemo uyu wakanaka. Saka tiri kungoona isu kuti tine hurumende iri kutya vanhu vayo. Hurumende iri kuziva kuti iri kukanganisa, haisi kuda kuudzwa zvairi kukanganisa. Asi chatinongotaura ndechekuti aiwa, izvo zvinogadziriswa nekuenda musi wa23 August. Tonovhotera vachamisa, vachaisa mitemo inoprotekta vana veZimbabwe, kwete mitemo inoita kuti vana veZimbabwe vasakwanise kutaura kodzero dzavo.
Thank you very much. Mrs. Chambara, your last word.
Inini ndinozokorora mashoko andinogara ndakataura kuti hurumende nemapoliticians vanofanira kutevedza zvido zvevana veZimbabwe. Vakatevedza zvido zvevana veZimbabwe, zvinhu zvese zvinofamba. Mutemo uyu mukatarisa, dai vakanga vapinda muvanhu vakanobvunza muvanhu kuti mutemo wakaringana here kana kuti hauna, zvichida maringe zvaibuda nevanhu vachiti handizvo. Nekuti tinoziva kuti kubvira 1980 mitemo yaingoiswa yekumbunyikidza zvizvarwa zveZimbabwe. Saka mutemo uyoyo ndine chokwadi chekuti uchambunyikidza zvezvizvarwa zveZimbabwe. Saka aiwa, hurumende haifaniri kudaro.
Mr. Guni, you've got the final say here. Quite.
Let me finish off by saying, if anybody believes that the law is unconstitutional, we have the Constitutional Court in Zimbabwe. They are free to go and challenge the law. And secondly, let me be very clear. Most of the statements that are being said in the public media, they are simply wrong. The law, I agree with Mr. Mshanga, sets such a high bar. Only criminals that are intent on committing treasonous acts or subverting the sovereignty of the Republic of Zimbabwe will have something to worry about. Otherwise, if you are an ordinary Zimbabwean, you are free to criticize the government, you are free to speak your mind, you still have freedom of speech, freedom of assembly. All those freedoms are still there. They are not touched by this act at all, not in any way. So don't be fooled. Read for yourself. Don't listen to propagandists who are just making wild allegations that
thank
can
you.
Never be true.
Thank you, Mr. Tsokora. You've got 10 seconds. Go ahead, sir.
Aiwa, ini ndongoti kuvana veZimbabwe tiri kuzvionera tega kuti mutemo uyu haufadze vanhu. Vanhu vese vari pano vari kutaura kuti havasi kufara navo. Saka zvatinongoita isu kuenda kunovhota tobvisa hurumende iri kudzvanyirira kodzero dzevanhu musi wa23 August. Ngatibudei tese, ngatitauriranei, tiende tinovhota, tibvise hurumende yakadai.
Yeah, so normally when we have one woman against all these men, we'll give you the leeway to say your last word, Mrs. Chambara.
Thank you very much for the honor. Mm-hmm. Like I've said, I personally don't think it's a good law. And you, the other panelists might actually say no, it's the bias has been set high. But we have got Zimbabwe has got precedent. Ine zvimwe zvakamboitika kumashuroko zvatinoziva zvokuti vanhu vakambunyikidzwa nenyaya dzemutemo unenge uchinzi hapana zvinomboitika, hapana zvinodaidai. Saka hatidi kuti vanhu vambunyikidzwe nemitemo.
Thank you very much. We have come to the end of our show today. We wish to thank our guests and listeners. Let's meet again at next time. This is Keith Stube in Washington, D.C. Good night, Zimbabwe.